You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's hard to believe we're flipping the calendar to August. You've probably noticed all the back-to-school ads already, too, but why rush it? This weekend, we're leaning into the summer spirit. It's all about fun, frivolity, and the activities that bring you and your family joy at this time of year. Our cover story is a focus on fun, four-legged family members you might not always think about. I'm talking about the small animals like lizards, rats, bunnies, and birds. Yava Engel from the Oshkosh Area Humane Society joins us with more about their small animal adoptions and why it may be the perfect time to add to your family. Amanda Nimmer rhapsodizes about one of her favorite summer activities, dressing up in period clothing, watching actors, eating food, and traveling back in time at the Renaissance Fair. We have a feature on a female aerobatic aviator who's really taking her summer fun to new heights. Brittany Merlot tells us about her high-flying dream to compete in the U.S. Nationals. Pete Schwabe has his classic cinema pick of the week that's been scaring beachgoers for decades, and our focus on music wraps up the show with one of Northeast Wisconsin's most fun and funny entertainers, Frank Hermans. Pete Schwabe returns to share a great conversation with him. We begin with what could be one of the quirkiest places for you and your family to visit this summer. It's the National Mustard Museum, where the condiment gets its own celebration every year during the first weekend of August. Why, you might be asking? Well, Wisconsin's in the running as one of only two contenders for the title of Mustard Capital of the World. The other? Dijon, France. Still, those in the know believe that the Mustard Museum gives our state the edge, bragging it's home to the largest collection of mustard products on the planet. Now, if you're wondering if it's worth packing up your car for a drive to the museum in Middleton, just outside of Madison, Terry Barr opens up our issue of New Wisco Weekend by going in search of some answers.
Lisa, I wanted to find something really unique. And with more than 7,000 different jars of mustard and a tasting bar to try every single one, the National Mustard Museum may be the answer. But still, the question remains, why? So I sat down with museum founder, curator, educator, and entertainer Barry Levinson and a few members of his team to learn some surprising things during a very funny interview.
Well, you can blame it on the Boston Red Sox, because 1986, they were in the World Series. They were so close to winning it all. And of course, I'm originally from Massachusetts, and I really thought finally I could see the Red Sox win a World Series in my lifetime. But of course, they lost, and I was so depressed. Even though I was here in Wisconsin, I went to Woodman's on the east side at the time. And I just wandered, 2:30 in the morning. And when I was in front of the mustards, I heard a voice that said, "If you collect us, they will come."
A lot has happened since that very day when you were inspired by mustard. Give us the short story.
Well, the short story is I quit my job as an assistant attorney general for the state of Wisconsin. And in 1991, I quit. In 1992, we opened the museum. The museum is itself a nonprofit organization like most museums.
So mustard does have its own day. It really does.
Of course.
Of course.
I mean, we've been doing Mustard Day for 33 years, first Saturday in August. Well, we know it was around at the time of the Egyptians when they were chewing mustard seed. The Romans had mustard. The Greeks had mustard. French, of course, discovered or invented Dijon mustard in the 13th century. So now, at the Worldwide Mustard Competition, we have 19 categories of mustard. Because mustard is not one-dimensional. Right. I mean, there's Dijon mustard, deli mustard, honey mustards, garlic mustards, fruit mustards, veggie mustards.
What's
mustard
the weirdest one? Or strangest? I shouldn't call mustard weird.
Strangest. There is one with nettle leaves. but there's a lot of things you can do with mustard. I mean, some of the things are a little weird. mustard soda. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've tasted that. It's awful. Oh, my favorite mustard. You know, who's my favorite child?
Oh. Yeah.
We're going to have the Poop on You fight song. It's Poop on You, America's Mustard College.
We have to get that.
Oh, sure. On our hot dogs, on our bratwurst, mustard is so cool. Never mayo, never ketchup, they're against the rules. Gleaming gold and mellow yellow, smooth, rough, sweet, and hot. Fight, Poop on You, we'll fight and eat some lunch.
Oh! And if all the silliness still isn't convincing you, this place really does cut the mustard. Consider the current conversation on Reddit and the only in Wisconsin topic about ketchup or mustard on a brat. The overwhelming response, you know it, mustard. You can catch up with the museum at mustardmuseum.org. And by the way, it's open every day and admission is free.
Wisconsin just hosted another record-breaking year of attendance in Oshkosh at EAA's annual Air Venture. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot spent the entire week there camping and getting to know some of the world's best pilots.
Summer air shows. They have different planes and different flying techniques. And one that seems to stand out from the rest, causing chatter and awe, are those certain planes that can fly upside down, straight up, and loop around to nearly the ground, called aerobatics. And you have to be a special type of person, and I met one right here in Oshkosh at this year's EAA Air Venture. Born and raised in central Montana, Brittany Lincoln is a fourth-generation pilot. Her grandpa and great-grandpa were both crop dusters.
We had a small grass strip in front of our house, and so just always being around aviation and airplanes, I was actually 5 days old the first time that I was ever in an airplane. So,
Britt got her private pilot license just 8 years ago in 2017, and her only goal was to fly straight and level. Then in 2019, she met someone with a two-seat aerobatic plane.
He started speaking to me about aerobatics and competition aerobatics, and it was, I didn't know anything about it. It was like you speaking a foreign language. I had no idea. And then he said, well, I was going to take this airplane up for a flight. Would you like to come with? In hindsight, I think that was a hook. I think he did that on purpose. Not sure he was really going flying. And I went, and it was great. We did so many maneuvers, and I felt great. I felt fantastic, and I landed, and he said to me, he's like, you need to learn to do this. And a couple months later, I started training with him and learning aerobatics.
And learning from the pros, it's not easy.
I always say it's the hardest thing that I have ever done, but anybody can do it. It's like anything. It just takes the right training. You know, it's not something that you want to go out and try by yourself. Even if you're already a licensed pilot, you know, you need proper training, professional training. But like everything else, you can learn to do it. You know, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and of course I compete as well as do air shows. So I see every tiny little mistake. There's no such thing as a perfect competition flight, but I strive for it.
Between competition flying and air shows, it's a completely different style. Competition is about absolute precision.
Perfectly vertical lines, perfect stops, no bobbles, on perfect, you know, is it a 90 degree, is it 180 degree, are you rolling inverted, and it's just, you know, stop, like bam, like you hit a brick wall, no funny motions in the airplane. So it really disciplines you as a pilot, and it really teaches you to be an absolute master of the airplane.
And air shows are different because pilots are there to please the crowd and to make it entertaining versus flying for judges.
Air shows incorporate a little bit more gyroscopic maneuvers, you know, like some tumbles. We also fly with smoke and music in air shows. We don't do that in competition. So a little bit different. But, you know, in my air show acts, I really try to pay homage to my competition background. So while I do have some of those really fun gyroscopic tumbly maneuvers, I try to maintain as much crispness and precision in my other maneuvers as I possibly can, which comes from my competition background.
And this year, a major milestone for her. In Oshkosh at EAA's Air Venture, she performed for her first time at the world's largest air show. And when it comes to the competition side, she is on the U.S. Advanced Aerobatic Team. And there are five of them going to Hungary in September to compete at the World Advanced Aerobatic Championships, representing the United States.
It's like the equivalent of the Olympics for aerobatics. Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
After all of this practice and success, I had to ask her, is she nervous?
You know, we're humans. There's always an element of nerves, and that's really part of also the difficulty of the sport. You know, it's the precision and the controlling the airplane, but it's just as much mental as it is physical. And so really being able to prepare yourself before a flight to be in a good mental state and focused, you know, not to have that fight or flight response that we get oftentimes. You know, people experience it when they have to speak in public, or maybe you're going to go sing karaoke and, you know, you get this brain fog and you can't really remember stuff and you get dry mouth. And so, you know, that's all part of the puzzle in the game is finding a way to control yourself, your body, and get your mind focused in the right place to perform at your absolute best.
And for those of you who have no idea what G's feel like, positive G's make you feel like you're pressed into your seat and it's a multiplier of your body weight.
Your blood will flow. It actually comes out of your head and towards your legs. So there's breathing and straining maneuvers, like flexing some of your muscles to help prevent or minimize the blood flow out of your head to your feet.
And negative G's are just the opposite, a feeling of being pushed out of your seat. Most people have no idea what that even feels like because roller coasters don't do it.
And there's really not much that you can do for the negative. You know, the blood then is, of course, the opposite, going to your head. And the best thing that you can really do, you can strain a little to prevent, but you mostly just relax. Obviously, the hard part is when you go from negative and you've got all the blood in your head, and then in a split second, you go to positive. And so you have to train for that. Yeah, that's where you can go kind of gray out, black out. So you train for all that.
A frightening reality that most don't know about watching from the ground. And if you're interested in aerobatics, whether you're a pilot or not, check out IAC.
Great organization, just of like-minded people. And, you know, you don't have to be a pilot. You don't even have to be an aerobatic pilot if you just want to check it out and kind of be a part of some really fun and great, phenomenal people. We have close to 4,000 members, and there's only a couple hundred of us that actually compete in aerobatics. So there's lots of people who are part of the club who, you know, just want to be a part of something really phenomenal. Lots of people who volunteer. Here the whole organization runs on volunteers, contests. All they don't happen without volunteers. So we have a lot of members that, you know, that aren't flying in the contest, but come and help out and just be around some cool airplanes, some fun people, and watch some really, really great flying.
Now I've learned these pilots sure don't mind having a meteorologist around, having to battle the weather, turbulence, and winds pushing them around. So now you know all that goes into that show. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
On the way, Pete Schwab's classic movie pick of the week, but first we're sharing family fun ideas. Mark your calendars for the Calumet County Fair on Labor Day weekend. Food, music from Vic Ferrari, the glam band Lone Star, truck and tractor pulls, a tiger show. Yes, I said tiger, carnival rides, livestock, and more. Find more information at CalumetCountyFair.com. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is New Wisco Weekend on your Civic Media radio stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Let's head to the beach now with Pete Schwabe.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's Classic Movie Pick of the Week.
For this week's classic pick, we take a horrifying trip down memory lane, 50 years down memory lane, to Martha's Vineyard, which provided the location for the fictional town of Amity, New York. Of course, I'm talking about the summer classic Jaws, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. The film does not waste time getting to the meat of the story, and neither does the shark who attacks a woman taking a late-night swim in the film's first scene. Police Chief Brody, played by actor Roy Scheider, immediately tries to close the beaches, but the mayor of Amity is worried it will cost the community much-needed tourism dollars. Shark specialist and expert Matt Hooper, played by Richard Dreyfuss, arrives hoping to lend his expertise on how to go about catching the shark, which is estimated to be 25 feet long.
Martin, there are all kinds of sharks in the waters, you know? Hammerheads, white tips, blues, makos. And the chances that these bozos got the exact shark...
Oh, there's no other sharks like this in these waters.
It's 100 to 1. 100 to 1. Now, I'm not saying that this is not the shark. It probably is, Martin. It probably is. It's a man-eater. It's extremely rare for these waters. But the fact is that the bite radius on this animal is different than the wounds on the victim. I want to be sure. You want to be sure. We all want to be sure, okay? And what I want to do is very simple. The digestive system of this animal is very, very slow. Let's cut it open. Whatever it's eaten in the last 24 hours is bound to still be in there, and then we'll be sure.
This duo soon becomes a trio when the volatile Captain Quint, played by Robert Shaw, joins the hunt team. The three set out to sea, hoping to kill the shark, but at times come close to killing each other. The film put a 28-year-old Steven Spielberg on the map as a director. Jaws received critical praise and became the highest-grossing film ever in less than 3 months of its release in the summer of 75. Spielberg earned his directing chops as he encountered challenge after challenge thanks to actually shooting at sea, the mechanical shark that rarely worked, and pressure from the studio when the production went way past the allotted amount of shooting days. Even though the director wanted to use lesser-known actors, Lee Marvin was Spielberg's first choice to play the role of Quint. Marvin told him he would rather go fishing. Not sure if the pun was intended. Lots of thought was given to casting Charlton Heston as Chief Brody. Another fun casting fact, it was actor Robert Duvall who helped convince his friend Spielberg to make the film. As a result, Steven offered his pal the part of Brody. But Duvall turned it down because he thought it would make him too famous. Duvall asked if he could play Quint, but Spielberg said he was too young. Spielberg shot about a quarter of the film at water level to give viewers a treading water perspective. He also did a lot of handheld camera to get the same impression. Helping make this film iconic and memorable is an incredible score by legendary composer John Williams, who over his lengthy career has racked up 54 Oscar nominations and 5 wins. And in keeping with the tradition of Jaws making you too scared to go in the water for the last 50 years, here's a reminder that Benchley's book was inspired by shark attacks in 1916, which took place in a creek in New Jersey several miles inland in fresh water. That's right, certain sharks can live in fresh water. Enjoy the rest of your summer, folks, and check out the re-release of Jaws in celebration of its 50th anniversary, August 29th through September 4th in theaters. It's this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
One of my favorite things to do in the summer is to head down to the Wisconsin-Illinois border to a special village that takes you back in time and entertains thoroughly. It's the Bristol Ren Fair, and I'm not the only fan of Renaissance fairs here at New Wisco Weekend. Our commentator Amanda Nimmer is, too.
It's officially August, and what's at the forefront of everyone's mind? Well, that would be the fact summer's ending. The kids are about to go back to school, which for some of us is a treat. But at the same time, it makes you sad, because those family trips are going to be coming to an end. And quite frankly, at this point, everyone's just waiting for Halloween and Christmas. So with just 4 weekends left, or 4 entire weeks, depending on your job schedule, what's left on the list of things to do before time runs out? Have you gone camping already? Gone to the beach? A concert? The fairs? Participating in those outdoor sports? Sitting and reading a book on the porch? What's left that you can fit in to this small time frame before the season's over? Well, the answer, my friend, is to go to the Renaissance Fair. Because if you haven't gone, you're missing out on a brand new world. This isn't just for fandoms. This isn't just for historians. This, my friend, is for anyone. And Wisconsin has a Ren Fair of its own. It's down in Bristol. It may be quite a drive, but when you go to the Ren Fair, you're there all day. Not just a couple hours. The Renaissance Fair is literally a world of its own. You will walk into a time period where knights were once noble, the maids are merry and carrying around beer or meat, and the turkey legs are gigantic. What are some things that you can do at the Ren Fair? Well, I'm glad you ask. You can watch the joust. Yes, I said it. An actual frickin' joust with horses and pointy things pointed at another person going at fast speeds, trying to knock the shield off the other one. Yes, you could go to medieval times and just eat dinner and watch that, but there's so much more than just the joust. There's fairies, there's pirates, there's archery. Have you ever seen someone crack a whip on fire? Because I sure have. Everyone there stays in character. You'll get to see aerial silk acrobats up in the trees. You can have an audience with the queen, yes, and her entire court will be there to knight you. To knight you. You can become a knight. And this isn't just she's going to use a sword and tap you. Boom, you're done. You get a certificate. There are chalk artists, sword fighting, all the bards that you'd ever want to hear, and a bunch of merchants from the olden times. Blacksmiths, candle makers, people who make their own instruments, and also, yes, many different variety of foods on a stick. This is a chance to escape the regular day-to-day that can be filled with so much negativity due to the time of year it is. So why not travel back in time and have fun for a day, a weekend, or as many times as you'd like. And who knows? Maybe at the end of it, you'll find yourself becoming a nerd. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer. And there you go. Huzzah!
Yet to come on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story featuring a conversation about small animal adoptions and why it might be fun to do it as a family right now. This is New Wisco Weekend, and I'm Lisa Hale. This is New Wisco Weekend for WISS, WGBW, and Civic Media. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's now time for our cover story. This issue is all about summer fun and family fun. Sometimes the most fun you can have is with your pet. I interviewed Oshkosh Area Humane Society's Yava Engel on the unexpected fun family members you can find at the shelter. The small animals, the birds, guinea pigs, bunnies, rats, reptiles, and more. Here's that interview. We have to say, in case you hear him, Cosmo is with us too, Yava's parent. Parrot.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for having me and for having Cosmo. He's very excited. He's just taking it in right now, but he may start talking and laughing along with us.
Well, if he does, I will be thrilled. As long as he doesn't, if he cusses, we'll just beep it out.
That sounds like a great plan. During the day when I leave him at home, I typically play Hallmark Channel for him. So he only gets wholesome content when he's at home. But I think it may be setting him up for unrealistic expectations when it comes to dating and romance. So I don't think there's a palace in Europe waiting in the future for him.
Probably not. No Christmas in July.
Yes, yes,
you know,
yes.
No, that's Scottish palace.
That's
no
right. He's been watching all of those, and I know he's picked up a few things from those, just in terms of expressions that we don't use at home.
Right.
When he laughs, he will finish off his laugh by saying, "I know, I know." And that's not something we use at home. So I know that he's picked up from his daily TV exposure. So
you were telling me something, and then we'll talk a little bit about small animals here in a second. But you were telling me something that parrots, such as Cosmo here, have the mental acuity of about a 9-year-old? Mm-hmm.
They do, yes. That's what I have read. I've read a lot about parrots now. I didn't used to be a bird person. But ever since we got Cosmo, I've really been reading up about it. And yes, I mean, he's extremely intelligent, very, very intelligent. He talks a lot, can put things in context, has his routines. And they are very, very smart.
He's very cute, too.
Thank you. He is gorgeous, I think.
Pretty boy. Yes, he is. So now, changing tracks a little bit, we wanted to talk about the small animal program at the Oshkosh Area Humane Society, because
it's not just all about dogs and cats. You have other animals. So tell me a little bit about the program and the types of small and furries you have.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking about that. We typically hear people wanting to adopt cats or dogs coming to the shelter and not so much about small mammals, but we have an amazing small mammals program at the Oshkosh Area Humane Society. It is led by our small mammal coordinator, Sarah, and she has really just broadened and grown the program amazingly over the last few years. And the animals that we typically see are mice, rats, guinea pigs, bunnies. Sometimes we do see birds as well. So Cosmo is actually an alum of Sarah's small mammal program. We do see parrots of various sizes. We rarely see the really large ones like macaws, but Cosmo is a double yellow-headed Amazon. So, but this is the first time I've seen a parrot this large at the shelter. And then we also once in a while get reptiles. We do get lizards and bearded dragons. Those we typically keep at the shelter. They adopt out quite quickly. Mm-hmm. They are small enough that we have the right enclosures, facilities for them. Larger reptiles, we typically collaborate with some of the other area rescues that are more specialized in reptiles. They have different needs that we aren't readily able to meet long term.
Right. Yeah, because a bearded dragon doesn't need the same type of enclosure and care and heat as, say, an iguana does.
Right, right. You know. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we have staff. I mean, Sarah obviously is an expert. We also have some other staff that are very well versed in small mammals and reptiles specifically who can help. So
you have everything from mice and rats to guinea pigs and bunnies mm-hmm. to reptiles and birds. And I imagine that creates not a space issue because they're small, but I imagine it can be a lot if you happen to have a large population.
Oh, absolutely. And we've just last year, we consolidated the space where we keep our small mammals. There was a very, very tiny gallery in the front lobby that had smalls. And then we also had some in the back hallway and we just didn't have a nice, attractive and very usable space for small mammal adoptions. So we did transform one of our large offices into a small mammal adoption center. And now all the bunnies and guinea pigs are in that particular room, which makes it much easier for adopters to see all of them, spend time with them. And they have nice enclosures. Like I said, Sarah is extremely passionate about her program. And so we've made sure that we have just the right enclosures to keep them safe, to give them enrichment, to have the right food for them and so on. And then we have another space where we keep more our birds and rats and mice. So
if somebody is interested in getting a small mm-hmm. animal, whether it be a rat or a bird, where do you recommend that they go? I mean, I know there's a little section mm-hmm. on your website. Mm-hmm. Should they go like early and say, hey, I'm starting to think about this in case that you don't have? Or
they can absolutely do that. They can check out our website. We also have our animals posted on petfinder.com. So if they pick Oshkosh as the area, they'd be able to see them. Sarah is extremely responsive when it comes to emails. So if anybody has special interest or question, they can just email Sarah with an H, S-A-R-A-H, at OAHS.org.
Okay, so let's say everybody who knows me knows that I have Zelda. She's my tiny dinosaur. She's my bearded dragon. And, you know, I rawr all the time. So, but if something were to happen to her... Mm-hmm. I would want to get another bearded dragon.
Sure.
I really enjoy bearded mm-hmm. dragons. So would that be a situation where I'd contact Sarah and mm-hmm. say, hey, put me on a list or keep me in mind. Should one come through? I'm looking for another.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You can do that. Or if something doesn't go through the email, it also you can just email info@oahs.org and then we'll make sure we pass it on to Sarah. But she's extremely responsive and I'm sure... that way she can also look at various other rescues because we do transfer small mammals in from other rescues and from shelters just because they may not have the capacity, they may not be equipped to take in small mammals. So We do help other shelters out as well. So maybe there's an opportunity to maybe, if there is a specific animal that you're looking for, that you could help with that.
And I know that you, other than what I call, they're not, Lisa, I almost said problem children, but the ones that need additional care, the special needs ones, you go through, like bunnies don't stay long at all, and guinea pigs and rats and mice, they go very quickly. So if you're in the market, you probably should reach out. Huh?
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, it really is, it's a super efficient process of the small mammals coming to the shelter. And we typically work very efficiently, or Sarah works very efficiently at getting the small mammals adopted out. So absolutely, just reach out to us and we'll work with you.
Does Sarah give maybe a little bit of instruction? Like say nobody's, say I haven't had a bunny before haven't had a guinea pig. What does she help people understand what is needed for that animal?
Oh, most definitely. She's conducted a lot of education events as well at the shelter. For those who already have small mammals who want to learn more, or for those who are interested in learning about small mammals and potentially thinking of adding maybe a bunny or a guinea pig, and then they can attend those events. But she does an adoption session with each adopter where she goes over all this information about food, about behavior, about enrichment, and just making sure that they are well adjusted in the home.
Love that. Love that. Now, you mentioned some events that she has. I know she's got a couple of different things that she does. Tell me about these, because I think it's adorable.
Oh, yes. So we some of the events are at the Oshkosh Library, where children can go and read for bunnies or guinea pigs. And those events, you have to sign up for those. And so they all are available on our website, oahs.org. So be on the lookout for those. So just go to our website and just see when our next event is. And we do yoga with bunnies. And we've done a few of those sessions at the shelter. They were a huge success. It was amazing. I did one of the sessions. I will... full disclosure, it is very distracting. I don't know how much actual yoga I did, but it was just wonderful watching the bunnies hop around and interact and have fun. So I've done one of those at the shelter, but Sarah will be doing them at a studio, yoga studio here in town in September, October, and November. So go on our website, check it out. Please join us. It will be a lot of fun.
That does sound like a lot of fun. I mean, you've seen yoga with goats, but I think yoga with bunnies would just be...
Oh, yes. They get very excited hopping around. Yes.
They've got all this attention and people absolutely. Are moving around. Yeah, definitely. Well, Yava, once again, what's the website people can go to if they want information?
It's OAHS. So... Oshkosh Area Humane Society it's not. What am I saying? It's OAHS.org. Even Cosmo corrected me here. Yeah, he says, Mommy, what you saying?
Right.
No, it's not. It's
right.
OAHS.org.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa.
When you think of summer fun, you think of going to the beach. But we've all seen beaches close because of that icky green algae. New Wisco Weekend's Melissa Kay has a story on an effort to eliminate that algae.
In central Wisconsin, they're testing a way to restore lakes to their natural beauty without the use of chemicals. The test started about a year and a half ago in the marina on Lake Arrowhead in Adams County. Carl Hasdahl, who is now the Rome Town Board chairperson, said within 67 days, the amount of muck on the bottom of the marina had been reduced by a foot.
The clarity of the water went from 8 inches to 3 feet.
The process uses Mollier nanobubble technology to deliver oxygen throughout the depth of the water. This includes the water at the sediment layer.
And it'll change the sediment basically from anaerobic to aerobic, allowing the good bacteria to overtake the bad bacteria.
Anaerobic conditions, which means without oxygen, can lead to an overgrowth of algae. By shifting conditions to aerobic near the sediment layer, this addition of oxygen stimulates and accelerates the good bacteria to break down organic muck more efficiently. Right now, the Wisconsin DNR is allowing the Tri-Lakes region to do a 10% test on Lake Camelot. They want to be sure having these units inject nanobubbles into the lakes isn't going to hurt the lakes or their inhabitants. Once the DNR is satisfied by the data, the units will eventually be installed on all three lakes.
We are basically spearheading this for the state of Wisconsin. We have about 200 lake districts in the state, and I've got 30 of them in the wings waiting to see the results here so they can start pushing it as well.
Property owners say they've seen many attempts to rid the lakes of algae. One owner stated there's Band-Aids and there's cures. Hasdahl replied, this is a cure.
You're going to see a lot of this happening over the next couple of years because it's a solution. It's not a Band-Aid. And this will help us restore the lakes back to what they should be.
For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Melissa Kay.
Still ahead, one of Northeast Wisconsin's favorite entertainers. Pete Schwabba talks with Frank Hermans. First, we mentioned the Calumet County Fair a little bit earlier. It's coming Labor Day weekend in Chilton. But if you go a bit south of us to West Allis this weekend, the Wisconsin State Fair is happening. We've got cream puffs, entertainment, rides, and some of the best deep-fried fair food around. The Wisconsin State Fair runs through August 10th, so take the time to visit it and experience summer family fun the Wisco way. We'll be right back with New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend, and I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Now, when we talk about original entertainment in the greater Green Bay area, one of the first names that comes to mind is Frank Hermans of Let Me Be Frank Productions. Frank joined Nightlight with Pete Schwabba to talk about his latest production, I Found My Thrill on Scray's Hill, playing through August 10th. Here's a little bit of that interview.
Rock a little angel, come down from the sky. Come on down.
Frank Hermans is here, what? Ladies and gentlemen. Who? The
legendary
Frank Hermans of Let Me Be Frank Productions. And some of the stuff we were just talking about off the air, unfortunately, I can't share because it was great stuff. It was gold.
Don't you wish you could do that?
Oh, I mean,
you should, like a podcast.
Podcast, you can.
Yeah.
But let's talk about your new show, Found My Thrill on Scray's Hill.
So you're not from this area.
I'm not. So Okay. Tell me what Scray Hill is.
Scray's Hill is right outside of East De Pere. It's a hill. Back in the day, the Scrays owned it. Hilly Haven was up there, a ski hill. But it was a place that was farm fields. The Niagara Escarpment, which is a cool word, created that hill from the glaciers. It's the tallest point in Brown County. And it was a place that was secluded. And you could go up there and park. There was lots of little places to park your car. And this is where the place that the boys and girls from the high schools around the area and colleges would bring the drive up there in their cars and they would park. That's where I was made.
And they would neck.
They would
right?
neck.
As they say.
Is that what they call it?
I think they used to say that. We're yeah, necking.
Yeah. And so they built
nice
all the,
view
all,
and all that.
Well, all the TV towers are up there.
Oh, yeah.
That's where they put the first TV tower for WBAY back in 1955. In fact, I got a picture of it. And that's kind of the thing. Scray's Hill, and there was one road up there, Dickinson Road. Now, it is full of multi-million dollar mansions, and it's the who's
oh,
who
wow.
of this area owns okay. houses up there. So I make fun of that.
Good.
And I play Professor Scray, and my family owns that hill, and I want to keep it beautiful. I don't want the lifestyle of the rich and famous being brought up there. Not like what happened to Alloway.
I love that. So yeah. what's the music in this one?
It's all from the 59, 60, 61.
Oh, nice.
So it's that cool stuff. Sorry, sorry, oh, so sorry. Uh-oh. It's like that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Found My Thrill on Scray's Hill, music from the 60s, and it starts right around the corner.
$10 of every ticket goes to NewCap. Great night to come if you want to support your community and support us. And then we run for 4 weeks all the way through August 10th.
Found My Thrill on Scray's Hill. So tell us a little bit about the plot. We know the music is from the 60s, but what's the plot, Frank?
Well, the whole thing is, it was the place to go parking back in the 60s, but I wanted to make it a little bit more inclusive of the whole De Pere community. So I play Professor Frank Scray, and my family owns Scray's Hill, but I teach at St. Norbert College, and I teach a class called Sociology 101-ish, and I have diverse characters in the show, the kind of the stereotypical cheerleader, the stereotypical Norbertine, the person becoming a priest, which is no longer a a core curriculum. And then I have a theater major who's very dramatic, which is another non-core curriculum anymore at St. Norbert College. So we're making a little fun of,
fun of that one.
Yep. And then we got the football player. And then I got the person on scholarship, academic scholarship, who plays sports. And she plays center for the St. Norbert a girls basketball team. And she's 4'11". So there's,
but they didn't cancel that program.
They didn't cancel that program. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's so fun. All right. So tickets are available at Tickets to Our Resch Center box office. Go there.
Call me.
MeyerTheater.org.
I know a guy.
Just run by Frank's house.
Yeah. And go, my son is also on the show. My 14-year-old son, who is a phenomenal. In fact, he was going to come the night we couldn't do the show. He can sing like a bird.
Wait, he was here. He was here last time.
He was here last time. 14-year-old Harrison Hermans. Harrison, he plays my son. He's the gifted kid who graduated high school at 13. He's kind of that know-it-all kid. Okay. And he spies on all these guys who are parking on Scray's Hill so he can learn the ropes.
Of necking?
Of necking and other procedures.
I could probably use a brush up myself.
There you go. What move are you going to use again?
Kid, don't mind me.
So he's like my, and I get angry with him for being a peeping Tom. You can go to jail for that. But he goes, then I can call their parents and I use blackmail. I go, good job, son. Very good. I use blackmail in my job all the time. I don't know why I have an English accent. I always think of professors. I'm that classic college professor who has the goatee, has the hair slicked back, and I am very knowledgeable of things.
You do the accents really well, though. Yeah. But let me ask you this. When your family, your wife, Amy, who is brilliantly talented. Yeah. I told you, we talked about this before the interview. Somebody posted a clip of her on Facebook singing a song from Mamma Mia. It was breathtaking. Yeah. Or no, it was from ABBA.
Yeah.
It was The Winner Takes It All, right?
Yeah. And it was called...
was that in Mamma Mia?
But it was called... what was the show called? I can't even remember.
So you're going to play something. I'm
going to play
so
from nice Mike Nesmith. See if you like it.
All right. Frank Hermans.
Her name was Joanne, and she lived in a meadow by a pond. And she touched me for a moment with the look that spoke of me, of her sweet love. Then the woman that she was drove around with desperation, and I saw as she went a most hopeless situation for Joanne and the man and the time that made them both run. She was only a girl, and I knew that well, but still I could not see that the hold that she had was much stronger than the love she felt for me. But staying with her and a little bit.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend and our issue on summer and family fun. New Wisco Weekend is produced and directed by Lisa Hale, written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features by Brittany Merlot, Melissa Kay, Pete Schwaba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email me anytime. Lisa.Hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
Then the woman that she was drove her on with desperation, and I saw as she went a most hopeless situation.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.